We have gathered on the most auspicious day of Srila Prabhupada's appearance. Srila Prabhupada appeared in Calcutta in 1896, which would be 113 years ago. But as he wrote in his dedication, the beginning of this translation of Srimad Bhagavatam, which was dedicated to his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He wrote, "He lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him." So although from the physical point of view, Srila Prabhupada is no longer with us, but from the spiritual point of view, he is. And one way in which he is manifest is through his instructions. He lives forever by his divine instructions. And by following his instructions, we feel his presence and live with him. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur also wrote a very nice inscription for the tomb of Haridas Thakur in Jagannath Puri. "He reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die. When thou art living still in sound, Vaishnavas die to live, and living spread the holy name around." So both of these statements contain two elements. One is that the Vaishnava never dies, he continues to live. And the other is that by following their instructions, by chanting the holy name, one can live with them and fulfill their purpose. I thought today to read a verse that glorifies Srila Prabhupada's merciful nature and service. The verse comes from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 31, Text 9. The same verse also appears in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 14. It's a very beautiful verse in Sanskrit poetry. So I will request you to repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Tava,
Tava.
Kata,
Kata.
Amritam,
Amritam.
Tapta,
Tapta.
Jivanam,
Jivanam.
Kavibi,
Kavibi.
Iditam,
Iditam.
Kaumasha,
Kaumasha.
Apaham,
Apaham.
Shravana,
Shravana.
Mangalam,
Srimat,
Atatam,
Atatam.
Bhuvi,
Bhuvi.
Renanti,
Renanti.
Ye,
Ye.
Burida,
Burida.
Jana,
Jana.
I don't know if you'll be able to follow the line by line. I'll just sing it. Tava katam ritam tapta jivanam kavibir iditam kamashapaham shravanamangalam srimadatatam uvigranantiye Buddha jana tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam kavibir iditam kamasapaham shravanamangalam srimadatatam uvigranantiye Buddhida jana tava,
tava.
Your
kata
amritam,
amritam.
The nectar of words,
words.
Tapta jivanam,
tapta jivanam.
Life,
life
for those aggrieved in the material world. Kavibi, by great thinkers,
iditam,
described. Kamasha apaham,
that which drives away sinful reactions.
Shravana mangalam,
giving spiritual benefit
when heard.
Srimat,
filled with spiritual power. Atatam,
broadcast all over the world.
Bhuvi,
in the material world.
Grananti,
chant and spread.
Yea,
those who,
Buddha,
most beneficent,
Jana,
persons.
This verse was actually spoken by the gopis after Krishna had left the rasa dance and they were searching the forest of Vrindavan for him, and in their mood of separation they sang this song, this verse. Translation to Krishna, they sang to Krishna. The nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life of and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations, transmitted by learned sages, eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whomever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly, those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. Purport. King Prataparudra recited this verse to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during Lord Jagannath's Rathyatra festival. While the Lord was resting in a garden, King Prataparudra humbly entered and began massaging his legs and lotus feet. Then the king recited the 31st chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the songs of the gopis. The Chaitanya Charitamrita relates that when Lord Chaitanya heard this verse, beginning Tavakatamritam, he immediately arose in ecstatic love and embraced King Prataparudra. This incident is described in detail in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 14, 4-18. And in his edition, Srila Prabhupada has given extensive commentary on it. So, as we discussed on the occasion of Snanyatra, during the 15-day period of Anavasara, when Lord Jagannath and Baladev and Subhadra retire to their private quarters to recover from the cold that they caught during the Snanyatra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the devotees of Jagannath and Puri felt extreme separation from the Lord. And therefore Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked by foot 14 miles to Brahmagiri to Alalanath or Alarnath, where he received some solace by reciprocating with Lord Alarnath, who was actually Krishna assuming an extra two arms as Narayan, as a playful pastime to conceal his identity from the gopis. And then Lord Chaitanya would come to Puri again for the Rathyatra. But although he was seeing Lord Jagannath at the Rathyatra, his heart was not satisfied. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And seeing Lord Jagannath dressed in regal garments and riding upon his chariot in great pomp and splendor, he felt like Srimati Radharani when she met Krishna in the holy place of Kurukshetra. Although he was Krishna, it wasn't the same. It was a different Krishna. I mean, he's the same Krishna, but different in the sense that she knew Krishna as a cowherd boy, as one of the cowherd community of which she was a member. And suddenly she saw Krishna, you know, being worshipped as a king. And she didn't feel the same happiness in Kurukshetra that she felt in Vrindavan. Instead of Govardhan Hill and the Jamuna River and the sweet chirping of birds and humming of bees, there were chariots and elephants and horses and clamoring of the royal vehicles and the animals that drew them. So she was in the mood that, yes, you're the same Krishna and I'm the same Radha, but I'm unable to feel the same happiness that we enjoyed in our youths when we were together in Vrindavan. So please come back to Vrindavan. So during the Ratha Yatra, Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of Radharani when she met Krishna at Kurukshetra. And he wanted to bring Krishna to Vrindavan. So in this pastime, the Jagannath temple at Neelachal is considered the representation of Dwarka or Kurukshetra, and the Gundicha temple that the chariot was being pulled towards is taken as a representation of Vrindavan. So during the Ratha Yatra, Lord Chaitanya, there was a sort of break, and Lord Chaitanya felt exhausted. All the devotees were. And so he took rest in a garden. And while he was there, King Pratap Rudra, whom Lord Chaitanya had refused to meet because Pratap Rudra was a king, and kings are the emblem of material opulence and sense gratification. And in that culture, at that time, sannyasis, of course, it is a general principle for any devotee, especially one in the renounced order of life, not to associate intimately with materialistic people. But Lord Chaitanya, being the acharya, in a very strict society, would not meet the king, although he was a great devotee. So the king came in disguise when Lord Chaitanya was resting in the garden. And he recited this chapter, the Gopi Songs of Separation, which was just the mood of Lord Chaitanya. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this verse that describes the glories of the messages of Godhead and of the persons who broadcast those messages, he rose And he embraced the king, which he never would have done in ordinary circumstances. And he exclaimed, Buridajana, Buridajana, you are the most munificent, you are the most munificent. Because you are giving me the nectar of Krishna Katha, which has all of these qualities. And that is exactly what Srila Prabhupada did for us. And therefore, he is also Buridajana, the most munificent personality. But to really get the benefit of what Srila Prabhupada came to do for us, and consequently to really experience the gratitude and appreciation and love that is naturally due to him, we have to take advantage of the transcendental gift that he has given us, specifically Krishna Katha, his books, first and foremost, and all of the Krishna Katha that he gave us, his lectures, his morning walks, his room conversations, his letters. It's all Krishna Katha. So Tava Kathamritam, that Katha that Prabhupada gave us, that Lord Chaitanya gave to King, that King Pratap Rudra gave to Lord Chaitanya, is Amrit. Amrit means nectar. And literally, Amrit means nectar that gives immortality. Mritya means death, and so Amrit means without death. Krishna Katha is Amrit. There is an Amrit in the heavenly planets that gives one, you know, a long life. But this Amrit gives one eternal life with Krishna and all of his associates, which include Srila Prabhupada. Tapta Jivana, it gives life to those who are aggrieved in the material world. So this word tap, again, literally means heat. Samsara dava nava viva loka. That we are all burning in the blazing fire of material existence. We are suffering the threefold miseries. And the spiritual master is like a cloud who draws water from the ocean of mercy and pours down the water in the form of rain to extinguish the blazing fire. So this so the nectar of Krishna Katha is poured upon the conditioned souls by the spiritual master, by Srila Prabhupada. There's also a verse in the Sad Goswami Astakam that they poured songs about Krishna on the conditioned souls, and thus they lost the desire even for liberation. So Tapta Jivanam is the life of those burning in the fire of material existence. But tap also has another meaning. The fire of separation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radharani and the gopis, they were burning in the fire of separation from Krishna. And Krishna Katha also gives life to devotees who are suffering in separation from Krishna, from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from their associates, from Srila Prabhupada, from his associates. Kavi B, great thinkers. Kavi also means poet. Srila Prabhupada was both a great thinker and a poet. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu relates that he was a student of philosophy and religion in the university, and he had studied so many philosophies and religious conceptions. And he said when he came in touch with Srila Prabhupada and his books and philosophy, he realized that everything else that he had heard and read before then was like it was just like child's play compared to the philosophy that Srila Prabhupada gave us, the clarity, the depth, the truth. So Kavi, and he was also a great poet, Srila Prabhupada. Bidhitam describes Krishna. Kamasa apaham. Kamasa means sinful reactions or material miseries. Sinful reactions give rise to material miseries. And apaham means it drives it away. So we've all experienced it. Even in the stage of sadhana bhakti, one of the qualities of sadhana bhakti is klesha vini. It destroys material miseries. From the very beginning, we can experience this quality of klesha vini. It destroys material miseries. It eradicates sinful reactions. And that enables us to progress in devotional service. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Yesham Twantagatam Papam, that only one who is freed from sinful actions and reactions, and who is engaged in pious activities, can take to the process of devotional service. We have to be free from sinful reactions. And an element of sinful reactions is sinful desires. Sinful desires are themselves sinful reactions. And so we are sinful, most of us, before we come into the association of devotees. We are sinful. We're suffering from sinful reactions. So how can we take to devotional service? Well, Krishna gives the answer. sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha isyami masucha. That if you surrender to me, I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. And that will enable us to progress. But how do we surrender to Krishna? We don't know Krishna. We don't have any relationship with Krishna directly. We surrender to him through his representative, through Srila Prabhupada, through the spiritual master. And therefore it is said at the time of initiation, the spiritual master accepts the sinful reactions of the disciple, so that the disciple is free to make advancement, to understand the science of Krishna. But that, even that, is a more advanced stage, because to come to the point of initiation, one, it, within ISKCON, within Srila Prabhupada's line, one has to be following the four regulated principles and chanting 16 rounds every day for a significant period of time. So how does a sinful person come to the stage of giving up sinful activities, following the regulative principles before the time of initiation? It's by this Krishna Katha, which is Kamasapa. It eradicates sinful actions and reactions. Krishna Katha, Srila Prabhupada's books, and chanting the holy name. Shravana Mangala. Mangala means auspiciousness, or here spiritual benefit. It's by hearing Krishna Katha, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, you get immense spiritual benefit and auspiciousness. That's also a quality of devotional service from the very beginning, from the stage of sadhana bhakti shubhada. It bestows all auspiciousness. And auspiciousness also is analyzed to include different elements, and one of the elements of auspiciousness is happiness. It bestows happiness. Of course, it's not the same degree of happiness that one experiences in the more advanced stages of bhava bhakti and prema bhakti, but one experiences happiness even in the beginning, even in the stage of sadhana bhakti, not just by chanting, dancing, hearing Krishna Katha and taking prasad, feel happy. And therefore Srila Prabhupada said, chant and be happy. The two go together. If we do them in the right way, especially avoiding offenses. Srimad Ajitam. They're broadcast all over the world. Now this phrase refers very particularly to Srila Prabhupada, because before he left India and came to America, these messages were not broadcast all over the world. The prediction was there from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the desire in every town and village of every country of the world. his name or message would be preached. Sarvatra Prachorvaye Marna. His name would be preached, means Krishna's name. So it was there, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur made a beginning. He sent some books, The Life and Precepts of Lord Chaitanya, to university libraries in different parts of the world. But it was never broadcast all over the world the way it was by Srila Prabhupada, who came personally. Published books in English, which in turn were translated into so many different languages. And through his books, through his talks, he broadcast the message of Krishna all over the world. And where would we be now if he hadn't done so? We would be where we would be, burning in the blazing fire of material existence, burning in the fire of hell. Bhuvi Granthi, they chant and spread these messages all over the world. Bhuvi. All over the earth. And those who do so are Bhuri Gajana, the most beneficent people, the most munificent. And that was the quality of Lord Chaitanya. Namo Mahavananyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Nāmane Gaura Pishena. Rupa Goswami appreciated him as the most munificent incarnation of Godhead, because he was freely distributing Krishna Prema, love for Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said that the devotees in ISKCON, even mentioned the temple presidents, they should be munificent. They represent Lord Chaitanya, and therefore they should be munificent. And so we all should be munificent. And how is that munificence, how is that benevolence expressed by Krishna Katha, by spreading the message of Godhead, by distributing Prabhupada's books, and by personally speaking about Krishna. And that is how one can endeavor to repay the debt that one owes to the spiritual master. And certainly Srila Prabhupada is the spiritual master of all of us. Should we at least? And as he said that if we want to repay our debt to him, and of course we never can, but if we want to, we should do as he did and preach vigorously all over the world. But of course, to preach, one must practice, one must have spiritual strength. It's not a cheap thing to affect a person's heart, to affect a change of heart in a conditioned soul. It's not an easy thing. And to do so, one must have spiritual strength. And that spiritual strength comes, primarily from following the four regulated principles of chanting 16 rounds daily. Srila Prabhupada felt that if we did that, chanting 16 rounds daily, followed the four regulated principles, and studied his books, and repeated his message, we would be effective in our preaching. So it's not very complicated, but one must do it. One must do it. It's simple, actually. Prabhupada said it, simple for the simple, but difficult for the crooked. We all have that crooked tendency in the material world to be deceitful and duplicitous, different things. So, at the Ratha Yatra, coming back to this munificence, at the Ratha Yatra, very soon after the chariots arrived at Venice Beach, I met my dear god brother, Bhargava into my ears. And the whole atmosphere at the Ratha Yatra was so surcharged with spiritual potency and bliss and feeling. So he told the story, which was most appropriate for the occasion, of the residents of Vrindavan going to Kurukshetra to meet Krishna. Krishna himself was always feeling separation from the residents of Vrindavan. In his sleep, he would call the names of the cowherd boys, the cows, the gopis. And sometimes his pillow would be wet from the tears that he shed. So he was thinking if he goes to Kurukshetra, he may be able to meet the residents of Vrindavan, because Kurukshetra is not so far from Vrindavan, like Dwarka. And, of course, the residents of Vrindavan were also eager to meet Krishna. But someone had to stay back to tend to the cows and calves. And, so Nanda Maharaj asked the community who would be willing to stay back. So the cowherd boys, who had now grown up, they were men now, they said, we'll stay back. You know, we're grown men now, so we'll stay back and look after the cows and the calves. And of course the gopis were very happy with that arrangement. So they came to Kurukshetra, and Krishna had entered into a pact with Nanda Maharaj. And the pact was that no one should know about their intimate relationship. that Krishna was actually raised as the son of Nanda Maharaj. Because Krishna knew that if people understood the intimate relationship between the Vrajavasis and him, that to get at Krishna, they would attack Raj and do harm to the Vrajavasis. It's natural. If you want to please someone, you please someone who's dear to that person. Like Prabhupada used to say, love me, love my dog, in relation to the spiritual master. What can you offer to Krishna? Krishna has everything. What can you do to please him? But if you please his devotee, if you please the spiritual master, then Krishna will be pleased. Yasya prasada bhagavan prasada. Or gave the example of Mr. Rockefeller, I guess was the wealthiest man in America at the time. But what can you give Mr. Rockefeller? He already has everything. But if you give his grandson a little sweet, and the grandson is happy, then Mr. Rockefeller will be pleased.
What is it?
So in the same way, if we please the devotee of Krishna, if we please the spiritual master, if we please Srila Prabhupada, Krishna will be pleased. And the contrary is also true, that if you offend a devotee, Krishna will feel more offended than if you offend him directly. So Krishna understood that if demons who were out to get him understood his intimate relationship with Nanda Maharaj, they would attack Vrindavan to get at Krishna, to hurt Krishna. So when Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd community reached Kurukshetra, he could. There was all this, so many people, and you know, horses and chariots and elephants. Couldn't see Krishna, but he could smell him. He could smell the fragrance of his body. So he went to that place where the fragrance was coming from, and he saw Krishna, but it wasn't his Krishna, it wasn't his little cowherd boy. It was like dressed up as a royal prince, and all these big people were coming, all dressed and ornamented and offering, putting their heads at his feet. And, but anyway, so eventually, but he couldn't approach Krishna because he was supposed to keep their relationship secret according to their cat. So he went to the place that was allotted for him and his people, and then Krishna himself came secretly later and met them all. And I'm making brief, but anyway, Krishna, you know, reciprocated with them, and then after meeting with Nanda, Yashoda, it was described that Yashoda took Krishna on her lap, and with the tears from her eyes and the milk from her breast, and everything about Yashoda is prema. Her very body is completely spiritual. It's made of prema. So her tears are prema in liquid form. Her breast milk is prema in liquid form. So she bathed Krishna with her tears and breast milk. She did abhishek for Krishna. And then Krishna went out and saw the bulls, the bullocks, the oxen. Because he knew, now they were all grown up, so he went to each one. He remembered the name of each one. And went up to each and every one and said, "Oh, so-and-so, I remember you. I remember when you were just a little bull, and now you're all grown up and big." And he just so affectionately related to all of these devotees. And I was just thinking how merciful Krishna is, how kind, even to the bulls, the animals, how kind he is. And I was feeling, and like Prabhupada, anyway, said about Krishna, that like he's so kind to all of his devotees, he loves all of his devotees. Even, and this isn't the exact one, but there's a Brijbasi print where Krishna like has his arm around a calf, very beautiful one. And even if you're an animal, which I basically am, but even then Krishna has affection. If you try to serve it. So I was thinking, and it was very deep. And then I was thinking about Bhargava Prabhu, not like an intellectual idea, but heart. I was really feeling. You know, you have given me the greatest gift. You've really given me the greatest gift, Krishna Katha. And that's what Prabhupada did for all of us, and that's what we as his servants and followers are meant to do for others and for each other. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.